I don't know if you all know Andy. You may or you may not know Andy Bailey. Married to Hannah. Together they started Crying Out for Calais, among other things. I don't know if you're going to say anything about that tonight.
A little bit.
Very good. She's also going to say something about tonight. Last time I went to see Rich in hospital, I also saw Andy in hospital. So I'm glad you're not in hospital and that you're here tonight. But I'm sure you're going to say a little bit about that as well. But I'm going to pray for you now. Father, thank you for Andy, and I pray that as he speaks tonight, you would speak through him, would hear your voice. You would challenge us where we need to be challenged. You would help us to hear the things that you're saying to us. Pray you'd give him confidence in what he's prepared. Help him to speak clearly and to speak your words. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you.
Well, good evening, everyone. I want to add my welcome to Simon. Who's obviously welcomed you here. Special welcome if it's your first time here or you don't come here regularly. Hannah, stand up, give everyone a wave. I'm going to embarrass you now because I'm going to be a bit embarrassed by this as well. This is my amazing wife. We live in Madley Park. We moved here a few years ago for my work, which is working with a group called Open Doors, which some of you will know. For those who don't, we're a charity which support Christians who face persecution for their faith. And last week we had Eddie speaking a bit about that. So last week I was talking to Simon and said, what do you want me to talk on? Is there a Bible passage? Is there anything? He says, no Bible passage, no topic. Just tell your story. Okay, so my story is quite long. I wanted to tell you a bit about my life over the last 18 months. And I'm going to split it into two things, and you'll see why in a moment. And they fall really neatly into two areas. But as I tell you a bit about my life over the last 18 months, I'm going to also leave you with two questions. And we'll have some time for prayer at the end. So firstly, I want to tell you about probably the most fruitful time of my life so far, where I've seen God work the most, where I've seen amazing miracles happening, where I've seen just real moves of God. And I never thought this sort of thing could happen to me. I never thought this sort of thing happens. But last summer, me and my wife, we were watching the news. We saw the emergence of the refugee crisis across Europe. We saw what was going on in Kent with Operation Stack, with these lorries causing big queues on the motorways, and saw all the negative news reports about the migrants in Calais. So we packed our car with a few odds and ends. We went down to Calais, and we joined up with some people down there. We started giving out some food. We started giving out some sleeping bags, just spending time talking to people, visiting the Christians in the camp, visiting the Muslims in the camp, spending time crying alongside people. Our hearts were really broken for what was happening. We came back, and the day after we came back, there was this famous photo of Aylan Kurdi. Does anyone remember this really tragic photo of a young Syrian boy who died making the crossing between Turkey and Greece? And overnight, what we were doing went from, why on earth are you doing this? You're just encouraging people to come here. You're making a bad situation worse, to, we want to help. How can we help? And overnight, our small voice suddenly became something which was massively countercultural, massively relevant to the news. And suddenly, all these people started paying attention to what was happening. And we really felt God put this on our hearts at this time to be able to share it to our local community. And there are many people in and around Witney and West Oxfordshire who've really taken up that challenge and helped people in Calais, in wider refugee crisis in Europe, and also supporting refugees in our local community who've moved here over the last 12 months. We also feel that God really opened some amazing doors to us. Over that time, we were able to talk to politicians. We had some time with our MP, our former MP, I should say. And we were able to talk to loads of newspapers and TV news about what was going on. And our small voice from when we started this, where we were just speaking out and people saying, why on earth are you doing this? was just magnified in such a way. And the only way I can put that down to is through what God was doing. The story went on for over the past year. We've been going back and forth to Calais on not on a regular occasion, but on a couple of times when we felt the need arise. And we've just seen amazing miracles from God of provision, of opening doors to us, and just being able to share about the plight of what's going on. I never thought that would be able to happen in my life. I never thought God would open doors in this way. And my first question to you is this: is there an area in your life where God is challenging you to step out? For us, it was just something we saw on the news, and God stirred a passion in our heart for the people who were pretty much on our doorstep. But for you, it might be an area of working with people who are lonely, working with people who are suffering depression, working with people who are ill or isolated. Whatever your passion is, where is God encouraging you to take a step out in your faith? So that's one part of my story from the past 18 months. The second part is really different. And the second part is this whole venture with Calais, this whole God putting it on our hearts, started when I was spending 3 weeks in hospital. So 18 months ago, some of you will know, some of you won't. I've been going through this reoccurring bout of being sick, of not being able to keep food down. When I keep food down, not keeping enough calories down. As such, it has been really, really difficult. And spent multiple times in hospital over the last few years. And all of this time with Calais all came out of a time being in hospital. Many people were praying for us and praying for me to get better, praying for God to intervene. But that prayer wasn't answered. And it's really difficult talking about unanswered prayer, especially in the context of when God is doing other incredible things in your life. But while people were praying these prayers, this is where the passion for supporting refugees came from. This is where the opportunities were coming from miraculously. And today, it feels like I'm in the same place where I was a year ago with being ill with this illness. Finally, after 3 years of going through this, finally got a diagnosis a few months ago, but still no long-term plan. But this is where the second question comes through. Where in your life do you find it difficult to see God? As I was exploring this, I always thought the Christian life was a bit of a journey, and it's often we use the story of a road to describe what we're going through in our Christian lives. And for those here who've been a Christian for more than a few minutes, you'll realise that being a Christian is not always easy. You'll realise there are hard points and there are good points. To use the Christian lingo, there are mountaintop experiences and there are desert seasons. And for many years, I've really felt it's balancing those. When you have these mountaintop experiences, God really uses you. God puts paths in front of you. You really grow spiritually. When you have these desert experiences, you lean on God. You are sustained by God. You get through them. And then God will use you again in these mountaintop experiences. But that is not my experience of the last few years, and definitely not my experience of the last 18 months. If you ask me how I'm doing at any point of these last 2 years, I'm completely torn. I don't know what to say. I don't know if I go, I'm amazing, God is doing amazing things in my life. He is opening amazing opportunities. Or I'm really rubbish because I can't keep down food. I don't have enough calories. I don't have enough energy. I can't make it to work. How do you balance these two things in your life? How do you balance God's amazing provision and God opening doors, yet you have unanswered prayer and areas in your life where you can't see where God is working? And then I realised, actually, this is the same in many other people's lives. And it isn't just about going through mountaintop experiences, then hitting the desert, going through mountaintop experiences and hitting the desert. See God do amazing things and then suffer with bereavement or ill health or whatever else is going on in my life. And then seeing God doing another amazing thing and stepping in, seeing a friend come to faith and then going through another challenge. But it's all mixed in there together. It's staying faithful to God when you have these situations in your life that you can't get through. But while you're in this situation, God is working amazingly. I see this every day in my job. In my job, as I said earlier, I work for a charity called Open Doors, which supports Christians who face persecution for their faith. In reality, that is in places like Iraq, in Syria, in North Korea, in Nigeria. And as you see on the news, you see horrific acts happening in these countries. And you see minorities under attack from terrorist groups or government groups or other elements in society. But on the other hand, you see amazing moves of provision from God. You see people giving generously. You see people stepping out in prayer. And God doing incredible miracles to support his church around the world. And actually, looking at the Bible, you see this as well. You see this duality between God doing amazing things while we still have these issues in our lives still going on. So I've picked up a few Sunday school characters, as it were. So we first got Joseph and his Technicolor dream coat. So Joseph has this vision from God of... has a dream from God of his brothers bowing down and worshipping him. He goes and tells his brothers and spends the next 13 years either as a slave in Egypt or in prison. Throughout this time, Genesis 41 tells us that Joseph is given favour in the eyes of his captors. He's given favour in the eyes of the jailers. God is using him to answer dreams. God is using him to speak to Pharaoh. Yet, he's still a slave. Or he's still a prisoner. He's still stuck in this situation. David, he was called by God to be the next king of Israel. Yet he spends the next few years of his life running from Saul for his life. And we read in many of the Psalms, not just the ones he wrote in the wilderness, but the ones he wrote while he was king, of this duality in his life where he sees God's amazing provision, yet he has this amazing hardship going on in his life, and it's this struggle to reconcile it in his life. Elijah, this was always my favourite story. Elijah, the last prophet for God in Israel during a time where pagan worship has taken over and people are worshipping Baal. There has been drought for 3 years. He goes to the king and says, "My God is bigger than your God. Bring as many priests as you want. We'll hold a sacrifice. Whichever God provides the fire, we'll see as the true God." 300 priests come representing Baal. Elijah comes representing God. And he taunts the priest saying, why is Baal not answering? What's going on? And then he prays a simple prayer to God and sees this fire come down from heaven, consume his sacrifice. And then for the first time in 3 years, rain is brought to the land. Food is able to be grown. A drought is ended. Yet the very next day, Elijah runs into the wilderness in fleeing for his life and prays to God in 1 Kings 19, prays to God, "Lord, I've had enough. I can't cope with this anymore. They've killed your prophets. They're trying to kill me. I want this to end now." And after this amazing spiritual high point, he has this amazing low point. And he's balancing this thing in his life where he's seeing God work in incredible ways, but he's also facing these challenges. He's unsure about his own safety, unsure about his own protection. He doesn't even think his message is getting across, and he's trying to balance both of these in his life. And finally, Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, who lived through the start of the early church and saw many miracles, talks in 2 Corinthians 12, that God has given him an issue. He doesn't talk about what it is, but he describes it as a thorn in his side. And we're just left wondering what this is. But this is an issue that he's struggling with, that he's facing challenges with. So this, to me, seems to be more of a journey of discipleship. So it isn't about these seasons in the life. And I'm not saying we don't go through seasons. We do go through seasons where God is teaching us, when God is showing us stuff, when God is moving us into new things or keeping us in old things. But it isn't about getting through the desert and reaching the green pastures on the other side. It's about that struggle on how we live 100% for God despite not seeing God's breakthrough in areas of our lives. So that's a bit of my story of the past past year and a half. So I want to ask this question to you again, and then I want to give some opportunities that where we can respond in prayer. So the first question, where in your life is it difficult to see God? And we're going to have a bit of background music while we're praying, but I want to challenge you, if there's anyone here who has these situations in your life, whatever it is, maybe it's a relationship, maybe it's ill health, maybe it's close friends or family who haven't encountered God. Is there, where there is this breakthrough that that's needed, where there is this area in your life where you're praying for breakthrough, let us pray with you tonight. You may have even reached this point, and this can be the case for me when people said, let me pray for you. You may have reached this point where I can't have any more prayer for this because I can't see it happening. I can't go through that process of praying and it not being answered. Well, let us pray for you that you will know God walking alongside you in this situation. Let us pray for you, you'll feel God in this situation, even though he may not take it away from you, that you'll know him walking with you. So we'll spend the next few minutes. If you want prayer for that, we've got an area over here with some beanbags, with some rugs.